be seated. You would think this gospel was from the Gospel of John. It was so long. So last week, just to revisit, we heard the story of the call of Abram and Sarai. And they were called to leave their country and to go to a foreign land. And God promised that God would bless them and make their name great, and that they would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And we learned that to be called either to a vocation or to healing is any kind of miracle that God might perform in our life is not just for us. It's for everyone else too. So our transformation is for the benefit of everyone. And it's so important that we get this message, because that is really the truth of the gospel, is it's not about me, it's about all of us. And so often we want to set, ourselves, our little lives aside, and forget that we are connected to everyone else. And so that calling continues this morning when the angel meets Abram under the oaks of Mamre, the three angels, and that tell him that he and his wife Sarai will have a child. And they're all about our age, you know. And would you believe God if God made a promise to you that you thought was impossible? Would you believe God that anything is possible for God? And so God makes this promise, and it's the same promise God made in previous chapters, that God will fulfill the promise. And the fulfillment and the calling is never about us. It's not about our skill, our resources, all of those things. It's about God and God's mission in this world. And God will use whatever God chooses to use to fulfill that mission if we're willing to say yes and to open ourselves to be a vessel of God's love. And so you might say that if Abram and Sarah had chosen not to believe God and not to allow this miracle to manifest in them, that there would be no church. There would be, because there would not have been the offspring of Jesus, and they're essentially the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gathering of the community around all the lives who had been touched by Jesus Christ. And so as we prepare to celebrate our 75th anniversary of this sacred space, the congregation, our community is 119 years old. But it's a good thing for us to revisit about what does it really mean to be church. And we all have our own ideas, and it's easy for us to fall into certain habits and ways of being. But what are we doing here? Why have we been called to come together to be a community? You know, the church did not begin with Jesus. Jesus started a movement, and that was to sort of awaken people that, you know, God is love. It's not about fulfilling all of the rules and dotting every I and crossing every T. It's about the transformation of your heart. That's the movement that Jesus started. The church began when St. Paul encountered the Christ on his way to Damascus. And he had an encounter not with the person Jesus, but with the Christ. And it completely transformed his life. If you remember, he was a persecutor of those who were gathered around Jesus. And he transformed him. And so he became an apostle, and he went and established churches all over the world in that area, anyway. So the church was essentially people whose lives had been touched by the message of the gospel, that we can live a transformed life. God's desire to create a different kind of community on this earth. And remember, the church was established during one of the most violent empires in the world, the Roman Empire. And so this gathering of community around a heart of love that said that everyone belonged and that no one was excluded, and that people could live together in love and harmony and peace and proclaim justice for the world. That was a very different kind of community than what people were experiencing. It was all about division, and you were either with power or no power, and if you had no power, you were persecuted. That was the world in which the gospel took root. And so, and that is the world in which the church was birthed. It became very problematic a few hundred years down the road when the church became aligned with another empire, that of Constantine. Then the church became powerful, and it changed the message. But the initial message was about salvation, which the word salvus means healing, to be healed, to return to the wholeness in which we were created. To that perfect unity. And indeed, the mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and with each other in Christ. That unity, not uniformity, not meaning we all have to look just alike and do all the same thing. Unity means harmony and communion. It always involves love. And so this morning I want to, you were given a little handout in your bulletin, and it asks you, how are we as a church? And the first question is, are we a church of being or doing or both? Are we a church that really embodies the healing presence of Jesus Christ, or are we just busy doing lots of different things? So here's the real purpose of the church, is that we are to be a place of healing, a place of refuge, where people can come and be transformed, their lives changed, to return to wholeness. The second question, and maybe you can just sort of, on a scale from 1 to 10, this is just kind of help you know where you are. And also where we are as a community. Are we hospitable to members and to newcomers? And by hospitable, I don't mean how elaborate is our coffee hour. That's great. That's part of hospitality. Are we kind, compassionate, listening to one another? And in the Benedictine understanding, that means to listen with the intent to hear, even if I disagree, that I truly seek to understand you. Do I bear with one another's burdens? Am I concerned about our neighbors beyond these walls? The way we talk about one another when we're not around one another. Do we take on an attitude of curiosity or criticalness, being critical? Second, are we concerned about proclaiming the whole faith to all people? Are we concerned about restoring all people to the unity with God and each other in Christ? Is that really part of our aim and part of our mission? Or do we just come here for social gathering and fellowship? Because if we're inward looking, we're not fulfilling the mission of the church. We also need to be outward looking. How often do you participate in spiritual formation? Bible study, Lenten series, Advent series, tea and theology, Enneagram, centering prayer, whatever. How often do I make the effort to participate in spiritual formation? Am I nurturing my relationship with God on a daily basis in prayer, reading of scripture? And is it a priority for me to nurture my relationship with God? Are we faithful to promoting justice, peace and love in our neighborhood and in our world? Will we stand up for the disenfranchised and speak truth to power? Do we provide a healing presence in our worship, our prayer, and our service? And I think these are questions that we should look at very carefully, and at both as individuals and as a community. And where do we find ourselves doing well in these areas, and where are we really challenged to grow? Where are we missing God's mission as being a called out community of faith? You know, the word church in the Greek is ekklesia, the called out. Those of us who are called out together, who've been touched by Jesus and called to live in community with one another. Because it's not for my own personal fulfillment. That's wonderful. That's part that's great when we experience that kind of fulfillment. But we're always here not just for ourselves, but for one another and for all the lives around us. That's what it means to be called. And, you know, how, you know, God can call us in many different ways. We can hear God speak to us in a worship service through a deep impression by something that speaks to us through the scripture or the sermon or the music. We can be touched by God's presence in nature. And we can hear that subtle voice. And when we hear that calling, God often affirms it through the voices of others and other means of communication. And sometimes we need help with discernment, and we need to talk and seek counsel with one another, that this is what I feel God has put on my heart. So the church, you know, as we look at rededicating our sacred space of worship, it's important for us to really look at ourselves. Are we fulfilling the mission of the church in the world? So I will leave you with that, and perhaps we can have conversations about it later. But it's a really important thing for us to be thinking about right now. And it will also, in our reflection and in our sharing with one another, it will help us, give us direction for where God is leading us next. So please take this and spend some time with these questions, and then we'll set up a time later to talk about it. But I really invite you to spend some time with these questions in prayer so that we might fulfill God's mission. Amen.